Reverend Thomas Murray is with us tonight. He's the minister of our Cumber congregation, and he's also the new moderator of our presbytery. So it is a delight to welcome him to Hebron here in Ballymoney as the new moderator preaching at our first harvest service this weekend. Brother, you're welcome in the Saviour's great name, and may you know God's blessing as you come to preach the message that God has laid in your heart.
Thank you. Could we turn in our Bibles this evening to the Old Testament, to the book of Jeremiah, and to the chapter 8. While you're finding the place, could I thank the Reverend Park for the words of welcome, and also for the invitation to be here tonight. It's nice to be here, and to share in the first of your harvest services, and certainly commend you on how well the church is looking this evening. When I came in and looked around and saw all the tokens of the harvest, it reminded me of an atheist, and he was out walking in the woods. And as he was walking through the woods, he was admiring the beauty of nature, the trees, the flowers, and all the colours of autumn. And then he happened to look up, and as he looked up, he saw a grizzly bear growling and running towards him. And of course, when that happens, you do one thing, you turn, and he turned, and he began to run as fast as he could. And then he tripped, and he fell, and the bear came right up. And as he fell down to pray, he began to pray, and he began to call unto God. And then, of course, he remembered that he was an atheist. And he said, "Lord, it would be hypocritical for you to help me, as I'm not a Christian. But maybe you could do one thing for me. Could you make the bear a Christian?" So he opened his eyes, and lo and behold, the bear stopped still. The bear had put down its paws, and then bowed its head, closed its eyes, and said, "For what I'm about to receive, make me truly thankful." Well, it's good to be thankful, and it's good to give thanks unto the Lord, even for his goodness and for the bounty that has been gathered in, even for another year. Jeremiah, the chapter 8, a familiar portion, I suppose, at this time of the year. Jeremiah chapter 8, and we're going to read from the verse 14. "Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defense cities, and let us be silent there, for the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We look for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For, behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her keen in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence with us this evening. We thank thee for the messages in song and for the blessing that they wear to us this evening. We thank thee tonight for thy word. We rejoice thy word is truth. We thank thee that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And Lord, we ask that as thy word is lifted up and as it's expounded even this evening, that faith might be born in some hearts. Lord, to that end, I cry unto Thee for help. Lord, give us words from Thyself, words of explanation, words of application. We would ask that even this evening that Thy Spirit would take the words spoken in weakness and would apply them to individual hearts, even this night. So, Lord, be with us and be Thou our portion. For, Lord, every hour we need Thee. And especially at this time, we need Thee. For we pray in our Savior's name. Amen. I want to draw your attention this evening to the last verse of that chapter, Jeremiah, the chapter 8, and the verse 22. The prophet said, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" In this prophecy, we are introduced to Jeremiah. He was commonly known as the weeping prophet. In verse 21, he confesses his face was black with continual sorrow and grief. He was not weeping for himself, but for the sins of his people. Even as he spoke, he could see the dark clouds of judgment descending upon the nation. In verse 16, he could hear the snort of the Babylonian horses as they rampaged, destroying all in their path as they made their way through Dan. Yet despite the fact that the enemy were now at the very gate, the people still were unwilling to hear, refusing to repent of their sin. The prophet finally lamented in the verse 20, "The harvest is past and the summer is ended." Of course, when the harvest is past, it is then too late to bring in the crops. The ground becoming cold, the air becoming freezing, the crops begin to perish. In other words, he was saying to them that it was now too late for them to be saved. What made his grief even worse was the fact that they could have been healed. Lifting up his finger and pointing across the Jordan, he pointed towards Gilead. And my, he showed them there a tree from which there flowed a balm or a cure. You see, they could have been healed. They, as a people, they could have been saved. They didn't need to perish or to be lost. And you know, tonight, flowing from Calvary's tree, there is another balm, a cure for sin-sick souls. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, speaking of the Savior, he said in Colossians 1 and the verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And he reminded them that they could be redeemed, that their sins, although they were many, that they could be forgiven. And you see, tonight, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was not profitless, but rather it was profitable. From His wounded side there flows a healing stream, a stream that is able to take away our sins and able to give eternal life. You know, wee boy one day was playing with his brand new sling. And not being very used to it, he fired off the first stone, and lo and behold, he killed one of his grandfather's prized ducks. He looked around him, and seeing nobody else around him, he grabbed the spade and he dug a big hole and he pinned the duck in, and then he began to fill in the clay. And just as he was patting the sod down, he happened to see his sister with the corner of his eye watching everything. That night after they had their supper, Maya's mother turned to his sister and said, "Sally, I want you to wash the dishes tonight." Sally took out a nice bit of white paper and she began to draw the picture of a duck. And my holding it up, she said, "Mommy, Johnny wants to wash the dishes tonight." And of course, Johnny jumped up of his seat and Johnny began to wash the dishes. The next morning, he was going on a fishing trip with his grandfather. And just as he was about to go out the door, his mother said, "Sally, I want you to help me today." And of course, Sally again volunteered her brother. And you know, Johnny, being sick and tired of this, he finally went to his granddad and he confessed what he had done. And the grandfather, turning to him, he said, "I saw the whole thing. He said, I was just wondering how long you were going to let Sally make a slave of you. And you know, tonight, you don't need to be a slave to your sin. You don't need to die in your sin. You don't need to perish. There is a healing balm. There is forgiveness. There is the eternal life. But my friend, time is short. The summer is passing. The harvest is coming to an end. And so I want tonight simply to draw your attention to this healing balm or ointment. I want you to notice firstly the character of this ointment. It is first mentioned in connection with Joseph away back in the book of Genesis. Writers tell us that while it had a whitish tinge, its color darkened with the passing of time, eventually becoming almost golden, it gave off a beautiful fragrance. But you notice here its production. We're told in verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? This balm came from a small evergreen tree, standing about 14 feet in height and 10 inches in diameter. It had no outward beauty. Its foliage was scanty and it was rugged. And coming to it, the physician taking a sharp stone and he made an incision into its bark, or he broke its branches and he took them and he boiled them in boiling water. And as such, we see that this medicine or this balm, it didn't come from its fruit. It didn't come from its fragrance, but it came from the tree being wounded and being passed through the fire. And you see tonight, the balm of salvation flows not from the Savior's sins, but rather it flows from the Savior's sufferings. It comes from his wounded side. Indeed, the prophet, looking through the dark clouds of time and beholding the cross, he said in Isaiah 53 in the verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You notice there the personal pronouns he and we. Why? He is singular and refers to one. We is in the plural and refers to many. And you see, he singular being wounded, he brought forth healing for many. And salvation flows not from the words of Christ, but rather it flows from his wounds. It's by his stripes that we are healed. You know, the Church of Rome would have us believe that Helena, the mother of Constantine, searching for the Savior's cross, that she actually found three crosses. Not knowing which was the genuine cross, a friend suggested that she take the three crosses to a friend who was dying and that she would pray over each of the crosses with that individual. The story goes that my praying over one of the crosses, the individual being healed, the cross was then brought into the city of Rome. But you know tonight, even if that was the cross of Christ, it is of no benefit. Because you notice here that this healing balm did not come from the tree, but it came from the tree being wounded. You see, it's not the physical wound of the cross that man need, but it is that which flows from the cross. I know sometimes when you begin to talk about the cross and about the Savior's suffering, people get annoyed and they say, preacher, why can't you talk about his Sermon on the Mount? Why can't you talk about his miracles? But my friend, just as this tree, if it had not been wounded and bruised, could not have brought forth a medicine to heal, neither could an unwounded Christ save the souls of men and women. It's by his stripes we are healed. The hymn writer said, what shall wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you see tonight, if you're ever to be forgiven, you need to get to the cross. You need to come to that old rugged cross and look away to Christ's atoning death and what he achieved there. on that occasion. But I think we notice here not only its production, but we notice its preciousness. Pointing them away from their own remedies, he said in verse 22, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" The bark of this tree being wounded, experts tell us that it produced between 40 and 60 drops a day. And as a consequence, this balm was very rare, and more than that, it was very, very precious. According to some, it was worth more than twice its weight in silver. Such was its value that not only did Vespasian carry it into the city of Rome in triumphal procession, but actual battles were fought over it. And though it was extremely precious, it was free to all who came to the stricken tree. It was there just for the taking. And you see, while costly, the medicine of salvation is without cost. It's free to all that come. Indeed, the Apostle Paul, taking up his pen and writing on to the Roman believers, he said in Romans 6 in the verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And you know, the moment that you begin to pay for a gift, or you try to work for a gift, it ceases to be a gift. In fact, emphasizing its freeness, he went on in the chapter 8 to tell them that he has freely given us all things. And you see, tonight, God is not only loves the cheerful giver, but he is a cheerful giver. He gives his salvation without money and without price. The great evangelist Roland Hill on one occasion was preaching at an open-air market. And as he looked around, he could see the traders there seeking to sell their wares. And lifting his voice, he said, "Their problem over there is getting the people up to their price. But," he said, "my problem here is getting people down to God's price." You see, of all goods, salvation is the costliest bought and the cheapest sold. Maybe you say to me tonight, "Preacher, what must I do to be saved?" I say to you this evening, you're too late. My friend, you are 2,000 years too late. Christ did everything upon the cross. The hymn writer said, "Nothing in my hand I bring." Christ has finished the work. Having been stricken, his salvation is free. It's yours tonight. All you have to do is come and to take it. Not only its preciousness, but we notice also there its proximity. He said, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" In this prophecy, Jeremiah mentions the balm on three separate occasions. Twice over, he tells us that it was located in Gilead. If you take a map and study the geography of the east, you will discover that this people were not far from Gilead. It was just across the Jordan. In other words, this balm of healing, it was right beside them. And you know, tonight, the balm of salvation is not afar, but near. It's right beside you. The Apostle Paul, lifting up his voice and speaking unto the Athenians, he said in Acts 17, that he be not far from every one of us. And in Romans chapter 10, he reminded his readers that in order to find the Lord Jesus Christ, they did not need to descend down into the depths of hell, nor did they need to ascend into the very heights of heaven. He was so close, so near, that all they needed to do was call. You see, tonight, God's salvation is not only available, it's accessible. It's right beside you. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, coming under conviction of sin, he left his home. He traveled many, many hundreds of miles to the city of Rome. There he climbed on his hands and knees the 28 steps in front of the Lateran Church. But as he prayed, he suddenly recognized salvation was not in a place, but in a person. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Lord said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And you see, my friend, the Lord is here tonight. He's here in a way that he'll not be at your home. He's here in a way that he'll not be by your bedside. He's here tonight. He has purchased your salvation. And tonight all you have to do is call. Just seek him. And you can know his forgiveness. Or the character of this ointment. But I think as we look at it a little farther, we notice also here the consequences of this ointment. As well as being precious and filling the air with its sweet aroma, it possessed medicinal properties. Being wrapped around the wound, notice here, it stopped the poison of sin. Tiring of their rebellion, he said in verse 17, for behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. He sent fiery serpents through their streets, inserting their poison, the people falling to the ground in raging convulsions, they began to die. And by lifting his voice and asking, is there no balm in Gilead? Surely he was indicating that it was able to extract their deadly venom, cooling their fevered brow to restore their health and strength. It was able to cleanse them and to heal them. And you see tonight, the balm of salvation is not only miraculous, but it's medicinal. It's able to extract the poison of your sin. John, knowing the power of the blood of Christ, he, lifting up his pen, he wrote in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word forgive there means to send away. It draws in our minds the picture of a husband divorcing or sending his wife away. And putting the word sin here in the plural and then adding the words all unrighteousness, he was indicating that he was able to send away every transgression and sin. You see, tonight there is no sin so dark, so deadly, so depraved that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse. It's able to take away your every transgression. You know, Stanley Arnott was the great-grandson of William Arnott, who wrote many books. Amongst the books that William Arnott wrote, he wrote a commentary in the Book of Acts. When Stanley Arnott was just 6 years old, David Livingstone came as a visitor to his school. And it lit in that young man's heart a desire and a longing to take the gospel to Africa. That flame lit, grew and grew until in 1881 he left Scotland for Africa. And he stayed in Africa until he died there in 1914. And on one occasion, Stanley Arnott was going into a little village. He knew the people were hostile. He knew they were dangerous. He thought that entering that would be his last day. And as he entered into that little village, a little boy came up and seized his hand. And lifting his hand, he separated his fingers and he felt each of his fingers. And then he turned to the missionary and he said, sir, tell me the name of the river where you washed your black hands white. And I tell you this evening, my friend, there is a stream where your black hearts can be washed white. You see, tonight it doesn't matter the number of your sins. It matters not the heinousness of your sins. It matters not, even though they rise as a great mountain in your life, blocking out the very light of God in your life. My friend, there's cleansing. There's cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. He's able to extract every sin and present you righteous before the Father's throne. And I wonder tonight, have you experienced the cleansing power in the blood of the Lamb? Have you experienced the power of the balm of Calvary? Have your sins been taken away? Not only did it stop the poison of sin, but it also stops the pain of sin. We read in the chapter 51 and the verse 8, Babylon has suddenly fallen and destroyed. How for her? Take balm for her pain. And from these words we see that the balm was a type of painkiller. Being wrapped around the wound, it acting as an anesthetic, it deadened the pain, it soothed the wound, bringing ease and comfort. And you see tonight, the balm of Calvary not only cleanses the soul, but it comforts the soul, it soothes the conscience, bringing calm. In fact, applying this balm, the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 12 in the verse 1, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." And we find they lifting their eyes and looking away to Calvary. Not only was God's eternal anger turned away, but they find comfort and peace. Christ cools the fevered brow. He quietens the accusing cries of the conscience. You know, Ful, the Assyrian monarcher, spent the latter part of his life in the excesses of sin. There was no degradation that he did not enter down into. And when he came to die, he said, "Oh, if I had thought I should die as I do, I would not have lived as I did." And I tell you tonight, there's nothing more terrifying than accusing cries of the conscience. It has driven many a man and woman to insanity. It has driven many an individual to an early grave. And I want to tell you, my friend, tonight, while you can do nothing of yourself to change the past, to change the things you've done, the places you have gone, yet tonight Jesus Christ is able to cleanse away every transgression, quietening the conscience, bringing peace of heart and peace of mind. Oh, tonight, do those sins trouble you? Do those sins waken you in the night and take sleep from your eyes? I want to tell you, my friend, there is a balm tonight. And if only you come, it'll cleanse away your sin. And taking away your sin will cool the fevered conscience, bringing peace into the soul. It only stops the pain of sin, but it also stops the penalty of sin. The balm extracting the serpent's poison, the process of death, was stopped. And you see, while sin ruins the soul, the Savior resurrects the soul. He gives eternal life. Oh, tonight you do not need to die in your sin. You do not need to perish. The poet said, "There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul." And I, friend, my friend, have you been to Calvary? Have you experienced its healing power in your life? But not only do we notice the character, but I want you to notice also the claiming of this ointment. while it was available, yet notice here there was a duty. He said, verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? And explaining the reason why they were perishing, he reminded them, it was not because there was no balm. My, it was right beside them, just across the Jordan. The reason they were perishing, the reason they were dying, was because they refused to take it. You see, while salvation is available, it must be applied. You must reach out and take it. The great evangelist E.L. Moody, on one occasion, was invited to stay with a very wealthy landowner in California. And when Moody came to the house, the man taking him aside, he said, Mr. Moody, you're my guest. Anything that you want, you don't need to ask for it. Might just reach out your hand and take anything that you want. Moody said, when I wanted an orange, I didn't hope one would fall into my pocket. He said, I would just reach out and take it. And I want to tell you, my friend, tonight, God's salvation will not just fall, as it were, into your pocket. There is a balm. There is salvation. There is forgiveness. There is eternal life. But you've got to take it. You've got to reach out by faith and claim it. You see, if you go to hell, well, not because God was not able to save you, but it'll be because you are not willing to let Him save you. Seek, and ye shall find. Not only was there a duty, but there was a doctor. Look at verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? There was not only a balm, but there was a physician to apply it to their wounds. Christ is the great physician, taking His precious blood, He applies it to the repentant heart. But they are taking up His pen, He wrote, that good physician liveth yet, thy friend and guide to be. And my friend, Christ is the great physician. And as He passes by this way, and as He passes by with His precious blood, and with the gift of salvation, will you let Him apply it? Will you let Him be your physician? Will you let Him save your soul? But lastly, there was a danger. Chapter 46, read in the verse 11. Go up into Gilead and take balm. O virgin, the daughter of Egypt, in vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. He was speaking here the day of His wrath. And in that day He said the balm would be of no good. And my friend, beyond the day of judgment, there is no cure for sin. He that dies in his sin will remain for all of eternity in his sin. The hymn writer said, after the joys of earth, after its songs of mirth, after its hours of light, after its dreams so bright, what then? Oh, then the judgment throne, then all the woes that dwell. Oh, then the last hope gone, an eternal hell. You see, my friend, it's late. It is oh, so, so late. The harvest is passing. The summer is ending. There is a balm in Gilead. Oh, before it is too late, before the winter, as it were, closes in, my friend, will you not come to Christ and know its cleansing, healing power in your life? There is a balm. There is a physician. Come to Him this evening. Amen. Amen.